Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. He was the grandson of slaves. His father made $5 a day working at Ford's Rouge plant. Judge Damon Keith died Sunday morning at age 96. This Detroiter left his mark on United States history with a series of landmark decisions that changed the social and legal landscape of this country. In a PBS interview with Tavis Smiley, Judge Keith talked about growing up in Detroit.
Never had a black teacher. And the Fisher Y was right across from Northwestern High School. Blacks could not go to that Fisher Y. There wasn't a black police officer above the rank of sergeant. There were no black judges. There were no black elected officials.
Wayne State University law professor Peter Hammer is director of the Damon J. Keith Center for Civil Rights and co-author of the 2013 book about Judge Keith, Crusader for Justice. Peter, what has this country lost with the passing of Damon Keith?
You know, you have these giants that you're privileged to walk with, and he's really one of the last giants that is here from the civil rights movement. You have one of the best and most important jurists this country has ever produced. And I think about the Northern Star. It's like looking out tonight at the skylight and not seeing that important fixture.
What motivated him to become a lawyer? What was his driving force?
It's all about justice. And there's a kind of a funny story in the book. He was teetering on whether he wanted to pursue social work or become a lawyer. And thank God, not that social work doesn't produce tremendous benefits, but he became a judge because or a lawyer and then a judge because he wanted to make the most impact in terms of getting justice, particularly for African American, but for other marginalized groups.
And of course, as we've been hearing, if we didn't know before, that reminding that he was a student of a very influential black judge while he was at Howard Law School, Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. How did Thurgood Marshall impact Damon J. Keith?
Yeah, so you've got to remember not just Thurgood Marshall, but Charles Hamilton Houston and that whole generation of lawyers were specifically trained at Howard University to dismantle Jim Crow segregation and to establish, as Thurgood Marshall would say, and Judge Keith would frequently report, those words on the Supreme Court building, equal justice under law, are going to be relevant to everybody. And Judge Keith tells a wonderful story oftentimes. He says, well, Thurgood said, the white man put those words on that wall, and we're going to make him live up to it. And that really defines the rest of Judge Keith's career.
And when you think of the mountains that Damon Keith had to climb to reach that place in legal history and always reminded of the color of his skin, am I right? Even after he became a judge, didn't someone once just toss his car keys at Damon Keith, figuring he was the valet guy?
Yeah, and that underscores what Judge Keith would also often say, that not a day would go by in his life that in some way, great or small, he wasn't reminded that he was black. And the story that you're telling, which is detailed in the biography, didn't just happen at any hotel. That happened in Williamsburg at a conference where the judge was the chair of the Bicentennial Committee to celebrate the 200th birthday of the Constitution. And after leaving an important meeting, he's going outside the door, and a white man throws his keys at the judge and says, "Hey, boy, park my car." And is that kind of lived reality that I think kept fueling his need to create justice for everybody.
U.S. 6th Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Eric Clay, in a statement, called Judge Damon Keith, and I'm quoting, one of the most influential federal jurists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Peter, how did his work change the life of Americans in Michigan and beyond? Tell us some of his most impactful decisions.
Yeah, so you can't think of any important social issue. So you think about school and school segregation. Well, that was happening in the North as well, and he desegregated the Pontiac schools, and the KKK blew up school buses to prevent the busing from going into place. So these aren't safe decisions. It takes a lot of courage. You think about national security, and you think then about the Keith case that he said to President Nixon at the height of Nixon's popularity, that you can't engage in wiretaps without a court-ordered warrant. And if you think about housing, right, it was in Hamtramck where the city of Hamtramck was going through a conscious policy of depopulation, but that was targeted exclusively at its African-American population. Or you think about the racial composition of police and police brutality, and he was there trying to ensure that there was affirmative action and equal racial representation in the Detroit police, or employment at DTE. So just it goes across the board. Almost any issue that you care about, there was a leading Keith opinion that was trailblazing in the way that it was trying to ensure greater equality in this country.
And speaking of trailblazing, Judge Keith is the longest serving black judge in this country's history. What did he say? Would he talk about what it meant to him to be that kind of a pioneer? How did he see his own legacy?
Yeah, at one level, it was incredibly humble. But he was also very self-conscious of history, and he knew what role he was playing in history. And one thing he did throughout his life was take incredibly good care of his health. I think he did that. This is my speculation, because he knew that the job was undone. And even after more than 50 years on the bench, if you look at the issues we're facing as a country, the work is still not done. And I think he would be the first to acknowledge that. And I think that was one of the things that kept him going to the office every day.
When you think of what he fought for over those 50 years, and then I'm wondering what he thought of, for example, Supreme Court decision, that 2013 Supreme Court decision in Shelby County v. Holder. I mean, these decisions stripping away voting rights protections he fought for.
Yeah. No, there is nothing that was more important to the judge than voting rights. And he knew people that had fought for that. He knew people who had lived and people who had died fighting for those voting rights. It just devastated him, that opinion. And one of the most important last dissents that he's famous for was in another voting rights case. And in the beginning of that opinion, he actually listed out with pictures every civil rights martyr who had died in the cause of fighting for voting rights. And he wanted his fellow judges on the panel, and he wanted the whole country to remember how sacred those voting rights are and that they can't be removed in the way that the Supreme Court is taking our jurisprudence.
Finally, what's your most special memory of Damon Keith?
Just what an amazing human being he was. And you hear that just repeatedly. Everybody who had an encounter with him, he treated you like you were the most important person in the world. And that would be true whether you were the President of the United States or whether you were mopping the floors. And just that notion of recognizing the deep humanity and dignity in every person he touched, to me, is my fondest memory. I often say that you can find great men who are not great men, and the judge is the opposite. He's a man who did amazing things, but at the same time, he was truly a great individual and a great humanitarian.
Peter Hammer is director of the Damon J. Keith Center for Civil Rights, Wayne State University law professor, who's co-author of the biography of Judge Damon Keith, Crusader for Justice. Peter, thank you for your time. Thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure.